Welcome to the Shepherd Series for Men. Every generation has had to wrestle with discovering how they fit into this ever-changing world. That is a natural part of becoming an adult. And I don't think it's an over-exaggeration to say that this generation may be having a harder time than any other of the previous generations. And this seems to be especially true with young men. The Shepherd Series is meant to help all men, but especially young men, to reclaim their identity, who they are, and discover or rediscover that role that they were created to fill. Knowing how you fit into this world is the first step to living the kind of life that all men want, a life of purpose and fulfillment, a good life. So, grab a cup of coffee and your Bible as we grow together in this series, in this study, Shepherd, Reclaiming Man's Role in the World. We're open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as men, and we pray for a blessing over this time. We pray, Lord God, that you would minister to our hearts and minds, especially as we get into a topic like this one today. Lord, a topic that's important for every man. And especially in a time and a culture where I don't know that this topic is considered as serious or important as I believe and know that it is based on what your word teaches us. And so I pray, minister to our hearts, Lord, that we might be, as we're going to talk about today, men of integrity. We thank you for this time. We bless you for it, and we lift it up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Integrity is defined as adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty, a sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition. The word integrity occurs about 20 times in the Bible. Almost all but one of them are in the Old Testament. This doesn't really mean anything significant, it just is. The idea of integrity is your inner code of conduct. We all have one. We all have something inside of us that tells us what is right, what is wrong. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do in this circumstance, in that circumstance. It's a predetermined set of internal rules and guidelines that determine our conduct. We all have that. We all have something that these internal things that tell us what we're going to do in any circumstance. And a man who is described as having integrity is one whose behavior is consistent with what he says he is. He does what he says, kind of a thing. That's the kind of the idea of integrity. And as we reflect upon that, we often associate integrity with goodness, right? When we think of integrity, we think of somebody we would describe them as a good man if they're a person of integrity. Not in relation to God necessarily, but in relation to other people. And so that's one of the ways that we evaluate it and measure it. Evil people have a moral and ethical code they follow. It's just not good. It's not right. But they, in their economy, in their group, in their circle, they would be described as men of integrity. If they live their code, they would be called men of integrity. If you have your Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6. We're going to look at something Jesus said about this idea. If integrity is we do what we say we are, if what we say we are matches what we do, that's integrity. Jesus said something about that, and then I'm going to look at five areas that we ought to focus on in our integrity. And the question is: should men of God be men of integrity? Yeah, it should be a given, right? We shouldn't even have to really have a conversation about that, but we do have to have a conversation about it because we live in a culture where that really this is not important. You know, that
that you know people even can justify lying and deceiving and you know doing anything that gets them ahead kind of a thing. And that's not integrity. And we can look at what's going on in politics and the government right now and seeing all the different things that are stuff that's coming out and being revealed. Most of those things are not things of integrity. They're the exact opposite of that. So as men, we ought to understand this, and that we, one of the things, the ways that God describes us, just all believers, as light in the world. We're to take the light of God out into the world, the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the Word of God, out into the world. And one of the ways we do that is by being men of integrity. That's just one of the many ways we do that. So Jesus expressed a spiritual truth that relates to integrity in Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 44, it says this. Excuse me. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. If we're going to be men of God, we're going to be men of integrity, then that integrity has to be real inside of us. That has to be there. Otherwise, what's coming out of us is not going to be good. And so he's just saying that, you can look at a man's life and determine whether or not he is, if there's good inside or evil inside based on what's coming out of his life. You examine the fruit. You know, in nature, some trees bring forth good fruit, and some trees in the same same environment may not. And there's a role where we have to understand what our place is in all of that. You know, Jesus is saying that you can look at that fruit and you can see what the quality of that man is, what the quality of that person is, whether it's a good or bad. Jesus continued in verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Now, as men of God, what should be our desire for the quality of fruit that we're bearing in our life? Good fruit, right? Well, if we're gonna make that a goal in our lives, what that means is that what's inside of us has to be good. You know, as good as humanly possible to be good, but it has to be that the nature of it has to be good. Otherwise, what's going to come out of us is not going to be good. We can probably imitate to a degree good. We can fake it to some degree, but Jesus says, "Hey, what's in there is going to come out of there," and so it's important for us to not let to take it seriously. You know, as men, people are going to look at our lives, and they're going to examine us, and they're going to test the fruit of our lives, and they're going to make a choice and make a decision. Now, some, you know, if they're evil in their heart, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. But, you know, the people we're trying to influence toward good, we should be producing good. We should be bearing good fruit, because if we're trying to influence them toward good, you know, we want them to see good, and we want them to see good. It has to be good. And so we have to always be doing that work in our heart to make sure that's what we're doing. You know, there's no question that being a man of integrity is harder than conforming to the world, right? It's way easier just to go along with what the rest of the world is doing. But Romans 2:12 tells us not to do that. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So first we got to affect what we think, then what we feel, and then what we believe. All these things have to be adjusted so that the good that we're looking for, that we're trying to produce in our lives, is first found in us. It has to be in us, otherwise it's not going to come out of us. And even if it does come out of us, if it's not in us, it's not going to be good. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. You can't hide it. If you're not really a man of integrity, you can't hide that. If you're just faking it, you're not going to be able to hide it. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous man walks his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Showing us that there is a downflow relationship to integrity that affects not just our life, but those of those people that are most important to us. And I would say our grandchildren as well, and anyone else that we have an influence over. Okay, now turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to get through this pretty quick. So we all got other things to do, right? Got to hang a TV, got to whatever. Being a man of integrity, being men of integrity, is not something that just happens. It's not even a spiritual gift that God bestows upon us. It's a process. It's a work that God does, but not without our cooperation, not without our faith and obedience. But being a man of integrity is a choice, and it's a choice that affects all other choices. It requires determination. It requires, the engagement of the will. To be unmoved by the world and the influences of the world, because the world is going to try to influence you away from integrity. It's going to tempt you to take shortcuts and compromise, to fudge a little bit on this or that, and integrity is not doing that. That doesn't mean we don't need help. In Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit and the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul is praying for the people of the Ephesian church that God would strengthen the inner man. And I want you to notice something here. It says that, the strengthening is connected and associated to a knowledge of the love of God in Christ. That as we grow in our knowledge of how much God loves us, how much Jesus loves us, why he did what he did for us, as we grow in our knowledge of that, it will strengthen the inner man. And the inner man is that part inside of us where integrity resides and is where the good fruit is first, it receives the, if you will, the sap, that reaches out to the branches and the fruit is born based upon what's coming out of the inner man, which is founded upon and built upon a knowledge of God and what he has done for us and his love for us. So the point I'm trying to get there is, with God's help, we can be men of integrity. It is God's going to do the heavy lifting. He's going to do the hard work. But we can't just sit around. We have to be active. We have to be doing it. We have to be out in the world where our integrity is being tested and being tempted and being attacked. We ought to be out there, because if we're not out there and there's no testing and tempting and attacking going on against us, we'll never know if we have integrity. And so we have to take it out, because that's where integrity belongs, is out in the world, right? If the world can't see you're a man of integrity, they don't know that. But if we go out where we expose that to the world, they see it. And just like the light of Jesus Christ, just the light of God's word, the gospel, those things, they have to be out where people can see them. And when we take them out there, that's how they know the truth of the things of God. They know the truth of our own life. If our life is lived with integrity, they can see that. They know that. You can try to be a man of integrity without God's help, but I wouldn't recommend it. We're going to take the rest of our time here and look at five areas where we should strive to be men of integrity. And I think this is important that we actually know and understand that you know, our world is not our life. Our world is not a singular thing. There's pieces and there's parts and areas, and you know, I refer to them often as circles of influence and different things that we've got going on in our lives. And we have to understand and we have to think through how we're going to function in each of those things. So the first area of integrity I think we need to always keep in mind is our integrity with God. To be the kind of men that God created us to be, we need to tend to our relationship with God. Now, you know, all of you guys have been around here long enough, you know, these are the kinds of things that we talk about on a regular basis. And so, you know, all these things, I'm preaching at the choir here. You know, three things stand out to me as I think about this idea of being men of integrity with God. The very, very first one, is faith. And each of these, as we go through it, you understand that each of these things builds upon the others. And so as we work on one area, it is affecting our other areas. And typically that's the way we do it in life. We kind of focus on a singular thing that's kind of a very male kind of a thing. You know, give me a project, I'll work on that project until it's done. You know, don't bother me with the other projects right now. Just give me the one and I'm going to get it done. And we can do more than that, but we tend to like having a singular project. And so the very first thing that I would say is faith. To be men with integrity toward God, we need to believe him, right? We need to believe in him. We need to believe him. When he says something, we need to believe it. And I think, it's, again, I've talked about this not too long ago. I was talking about this. We don't need to understand God to believe and obey, right? We need to understand as much as we need to so that we can obey. But, you know, sometimes some of the things that God says in his word, it's not easy to understand. You don't have to understand it. Believe it and obey it to the best of your ability. And we have one certain source of faith. You guys are holding it in your lap or on your phone. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're going to be men of integrity, we need to be men of the word. If you don't understand who God is and what it means to be a man of integrity toward God, you can't be. You can try to wander your way through life trying to find what all those things mean, trying to maybe find somebody that you can imitate. But God gave us his word so that we could know him. Not just know him, but we can walk with him. And a man of integrity walks with God. Why? Because that's the very best path that you can walk. There is no better path for you to walk than the path that Jesus is leading you on. Because he always goes toward good and right and holy. So if you want to be men of integrity, you got to be walking with Jesus every moment of your life, if that's possible. Be men of the word. This is how we establish our moral and ethical code of principles. Our the way that we view the world has to be based upon this. If your morals and ethics are not coming from the Bible, what are they coming from? Your own ideas, or the culture around you, or some cult leader that you think is cool? Yeah, I mean, I'm following X, Y, and Z. Okay, good luck with that. You know, our morals and ethics have got to come out of this. We got to understand something. Everybody has a code. You know, they have what they refer to as morals. But if they're not based on the truth of the Word of God, then what are they? The second thing in to be men of integrity with God is honesty. Now, this is an interesting one to think about, you know, being honest with God. You know, common in the description of integrity, we heard it in the description that I read, the definition that I read, is the concept of honesty. As a matter of fact, it's almost always one of the very first things that people think of when they think of integrity. They think of honesty. We need to be honest with God, you know, and which is interesting because what does God know? Everything. What does he know about me? Everything. What does he know about the secret things in my heart and mind? What does he know about those? Everything. We should not try to hide anything from God. We can't anyway. We ought to be absolutely transparent with God. And we got to be careful not to try to justify or blame others for our mistakes, for our sins. You know, that's the very first thing happened in the fall. Very first thing that happened in the fall, when Adam and Eve fell, and God says to Adam, "What's up?" And God says, "It's the woman you gave me." He blamed the only two beings in the universe for his sin. The Bible says something to us. In 1 John 1:8, it tells us, 1:8 and 1:10 says that if we try to hide our sin, we are fooling ourselves and we're calling God a liar. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ought to be absolutely open with God. When we make a mistake, just get on your face before him and tell him. He already knows it, but it does something inside of us when we repent and when we seek God's forgiveness, when we humble ourselves before him, it does something inside of us that is good for us. But if we don't do it, it does something inside of us that is bad for us. Because if you start hiding anything, or you are trying to hide something from God, you are in essence moving away from God. And you keep doing that, it builds up scar tissue in your heart. It starts to cloud your mind, and it gets harder and harder to connect with God and to walk with him. The best place for us to be is absolutely just clean before God, because anything that we know about, we confess to him. We recognize that what we've done is wrong to him and is bad for us. And we confess it and we allow him to clean us. That's what a man of integrity does. He stays in a right relationship with God through forgiveness and repentance and humility. The third thing is obedience. Jesus pointed at the hypocrisy of some in Luke 6:46. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Why do you, Lord Jesus, you're amazing, and then you just do whatever you want. He's saying that's hypocrisy. That's wrong. If you're going to do whatever you want, fine, go do whatever you want. Just don't call Jesus your Lord. Because if he's your Lord, then you should be doing what he wants, not what you want. And as men of God, men of integrity, that we ought to be doing that. This is so important for us because the world would like us to believe that what you want is good. And that, you know, we shouldn't, David was talking about this, you know, not appreciating authority. I get that. I was like that, one of those guys too. Not only did I not appreciate it, I hated the idea that anybody had authority over me. And I resisted it. I did it for a long, long time. But the reality is, if I get to that place, because it gets back to the beginning, if you know God, you know his word, and you start to see who he is and his plan for your life is good, when he says, "I want you to do this," it's for good. How good? The best good. The best good you can have in your life is that which God wants for you. Even when it's hard, uncomfortable, even if it's something you don't want to do, if it's what God wants you to do, it's because that's what is good. And we have got to get to our place that I desire God's good more than my idea of good, my thoughts on good, because honestly, I don't really know what's good. I know what I think feels good, but in reality, only God knows what's good. And if I don't allow him to do that, I'm gonna find myself in some pretty bad places. A man of integrity knows what God expects of him and does it. Even when it's inconvenient, uncomfortable, or unpopular, just do it. So we looked at the first area of integrity was with God. The second one is with yourself. If we're going to be men of integrity, the very first place we got to do is with God. We got to be men of integrity with God. We've got to be right with God. We've got to be honest with God. We've got to be seeking him. We've got to be obeying him. But then also we got to look inward and look at ourselves. You know, Paul says, or Jesus says, that these kinds of things come from within us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Look inside. Examine. Know yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Not just examine, but test it. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, we must examine. We must test ourselves to know if in fact we are men of integrity. We ought to know that. We ought to be able to say honestly to our own hearts, yes, I am. First to God, I am doing my human best to be a man of integrity. And as I look inside of myself, I also can say with some degree of confidence that I am walking a life of integrity. First thing you need to do, be honest. Just like you need to be honest with God, you need to be brutally honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Too many guys are lying to themselves and saying, I'm doing okay, when they're not. I'm doing better than Chad is. I must be okay. Be brutally honest with yourself. You know, that means, you know, we've got to walk in our strengths, those things that we're doing well at. But if there's weaknesses in your life, you need to be putting up guardrails and boundaries and, you know, get accountability, all these different things to help us to be men of integrity. Do whatever it takes to be a man of integrity. Second thing, be disciplined. Be honest and be disciplined. A disciplined person knows what needs to be done, and they do it. And they don't make excuses. They don't whine and complain about it. They just do it, regardless of personal cost or discomfort. They just do what is right. What is the right thing to do? They do it. 1 Corinthians 9:26-27, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body to bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. If you're gonna walk through this life as a man of integrity, then you ought to train yourself, discipline yourself to the traits of integrity. Do those things that a man of integrity does. Otherwise, you might become disqualified. And this is the important thing. Disqualified to whom? To those that you should be men of integrity around. If you're not a man of integrity, and you're trying to influence others toward God, toward Christ, toward good, but you're not a man of integrity, you're disqualified to influence them. You won't be able to, because they're going to look at you and say, I don't trust you. I don't believe you. You know, you're not what you say you are. Now, people may accuse you of that regardless, but just don't let it be true. You know, somebody can falsely accuse you of something. That's one thing. But if they accuse you of it and it's actually true, that's a completely another thing. Third thing, be predetermined. Decide in advance how you're going to respond to temptations that come to compromise your integrity. There are things that as men, we know certain kinds of things, especially we know ourselves enough to know there are certain kinds of temptations that can come our way, certain kinds of influence that can come our way that can draw us away from being men of integrity. We know what they are. And so if we know what they are, then we ought to know what we're going to do if those things come in advance. And just as an example for me, I have resolved never to be alone with a woman who I'm not related to. That's just part of how I run my life. I work here in this building alone most of the time. I'm here all by myself most of the time. If a woman needs to talk to me, I talk to her out there in the foyer with all the windows looking out into the world and right in front of the camera that's looking down into the foyer. I am doing everything I can, and I do that. I know I do that on purpose. A lot of times, I'll just stand. I won't even sit down. I'll stand during the conversation for the sake of not making it, you know, seem intimate in any way. And so that's very, for me, that is an expression of integrity for me personally, that I do that to protect myself and to protect them, to avoid even the appearance of evil. I just do that as a determination. It's something I know that a lot of churches fall because the pastor gets involved with one of the females in the church. And I know that's a temptation to pastors. Okay, that's a temptation to pastors. I'm a pastor. I know I need to guard against that. I don't feel any temptation in that way, but you know, if that is a potential, I just keep that way, way away from me. Then I'll never have to really concern myself with it. I just have already made that determination how I'm gonna deal with these things. If a woman, you know, after church says she wants to talk to me, she wants to have a meeting with me, I always, if I can't give her to Kelly and have Kelly meet with her, then it's her and I and Kelly. So there's always, I do that. These are the kinds of things. You have to think some of these things out. If you know there's a temptation, there's a place where you might be tempted to not be a person of integrity, then you need to determine in advance how you're going to respond to that temptation. And think it out. And if that means putting barriers in the way so that you can't be tempted, or it's much harder to be tempted in that area, then do whatever it takes. If we're going to be men of integrity, we want to be as pure and holy and righteous as is humanly possible. Because I don't want anyone to question whether or not that I can be looked upon as a person of integrity. Because if they doubt my integrity, I lose influence over them. And as a man, again, it's not about me and me being somebody, but I have a role in the world that requires me to be a man of integrity. And as a pastor, that's my role. But we, as men, we all have a role to be men of influence, to influence others toward God, toward holiness, toward righteousness, toward faith in Jesus Christ. And you can't do that if you're not a person of integrity. It's going to be harder. Do whatever it takes. You know, be aware of your surroundings. Think about what you do and what you would do. Think about what you're doing with your eyes when you're out in public. Think about what you're, you know, how you're carrying yourself. Think about these things as it relates to those that are around you and the way that they're seeing you. You know, don't be fake, don't be weird, but you know, do what's right. And that helps us to keep our minds on the fact that we should be people of integrity. The third area is romantic relationships. You know, for all of us, this is easy. This is your wife. We do not have romantic relationships with anyone other than our wife. We don't have anything that even resembles romantic relationships with anyone other than our wife. If you have any questions on that, come see me. I will help you understand it very clearly. You don't have relationships. Matter of fact, I'm convinced that men should not have close friendships with women, period. Christian men, anyways. I think it's dangerous. I think it's risky to have a close, relationship with a woman. I suppose it can happen, but I would be very skeptical of it. First thing that we ought to do in that relationship, be open. Secrets are toxic to your relationship. And they're toxic because of all of the work you have to do inside of you to keep your secret. The way that you have to block off yourself from that person. Second, be pure. When it comes to women, be pure. That means that we treat every woman who is not our wife as if she was our mother or our sister. And we don't mess with her. Don't touch. Also, don't look. Pornography is sin. And if it's a struggle in your life, be accountable to somebody. Find somebody that you can be accountable to, because it is almost as bad as touching. Don't do it. Third, be committed. Be all in. No half measures, no faking it. Be all in. After your relationship with Christ, your relationship with your wife is the most important relationship in your life. The fourth area of integrity is at work. Most men spend a large chunk of their life at work. Well, except for four out of the five sitting around the table right now. Bunch of lazy guys. I know you're not lazy. I'm kidding, mostly. When we're out at work, especially at work, we are more people can see us than virtually any other time in our lives. We're around so many more people. They can witness our integrity. They can look at us, determine. They can see our fruit and determine if we are people of integrity. They could tell you, they know you. They can tell you if you're a person of integrity. If that person does what they say they're going to do, or they don't do what they say they're going to do, or they live a life that reflects what they believe, they can see that. They know that. The first thing in that respect is be honest. We as employees, if you are employed by someone, don't steal, don't cheat. You don't take resources or time from them. Second, be reliable. Be there when you're supposed to be there. Do the job. And do the job they're paying you for, even if they're not paying you enough. Even if you think they're being unfair, you give 100% every time. I believe that's what men of integrity do. It doesn't, I've had over the years, I managed a bunch of people for a long time. And, somebody would come and they wanted more money. And I my response to, there isn't any more money. And if you can go find somebody that will give you what you think you're worth, then you should go do that. And the reality is you are worth exactly as much as somebody will pay you to work whatever job it is you're doing. And we should be okay with that. Especially as men of God, we should be content where we are. If God leads us to go do something different, we should go do something different. But in the meantime, we are to be men of integrity. That means if I took a job and I'm being paid the amount that we agreed upon, then that's the amount that I ought to work for. And I ought to give them 100% of what they're paying for, even if you don't think it's right or fair. Third, be responsible. That means that we take responsibility if we make a mistake. And we don't take credit for another person's work. That's just being a man of integrity. We don't do that. The fifth area that we're going to look at, and then we're going to be done, is with friends. And this one probably deserves a session all unto itself. If we're going to be men of integrity, you need to have men around you who are trying to be men of integrity. One of the ways that we learn as men is to watching other men. If you see another man doing something, you have a better idea of how to do it. You know, if I'm trying to do something around the house and I don't know how to do it, I get on YouTube and I look it up. I watch somebody doing it. And I watch how they go through the process, and I learn how to do it. I learn better that way. Many of us do that, right? Many of us are visual learners. I watch somebody doing it, and I'm better able to do it. And the reality is that, you know, if I'm going to do that while fixing a dryer, how much more important of it when we're talking about my faith? Shouldn't I have men around me who are doing it and can do it better than I can? And I can walk with them and see what they're doing, and I can understand it. I can ask them questions, and they can relate to me the things that I may not know, and they can point me at the places where I can find what I don't know. We have to have men around us who are walking, doing their best to walk in integrity. Again, no, you're never going to find the only perfect person we can follow is Jesus, and we're trying to follow him, but sometimes we need, you know, one with flesh on around us so we can actually watch how it works out in our around us today. And so we need to have guys like that. And a couple of things I just want to talk on. If you're going to do this, if you're going to develop the relationships that will help you to become a man of integrity. There's a scripture, I think it's in Proverbs, where it says, if you want to have friends, I'm paraphrasing, if you want to have friends, be friendly. You know, don't be a grump. So my first point here is be positive. If you want to have somebody in your life that can help you to be a better human, a better man, a better man of God, a better man of integrity, then there ought to be some traits in you that foster the relationship that allows you to be able to do that. And the first one is be positive. Nobody wants to be around somebody who's always grumbling and complaining and whining about all the different issues of life. You know, nobody wants to hear about your last doctor's visit, okay? Just kidding. Some of us really enjoy that kind of, I don't enjoy it, but that some people like that kind of stuff. Yeah, but we ought to be positive, you know, and not always looking at the world as being a train wreck. Is it a train wreck? Yes, it is. We all know that. But are there positive things in the world? Yes, there are. Are there positive things in your life? I hope so. There ought to be. And if you're honest with God and yourself, you can probably think of something that's positive. We ought to be more positive than negative, right? Would that make sense? Don't we like having people around us who tend to lift us up rather than drag us down? And we ought to be that person. If we want to have those kinds of relationships, we ought to be that person. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be, you know, fake up. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be, you know, just, you know, always giddy and all of that. But, you know, think of the positive more than the negative. Second, be dependable. If you say you're going to do something, do it, even if a better offer comes along. If you make a commitment to somebody, a man of integrity keeps his commitments. And you know, for some people, for me, I have to write it down. You know, if somebody comes to me on a Sunday and says, "Hey, Rick, would you do such and such?" If I don't write it down, I will not remember. I won't. It's just so much other stuff is coming into my brain at the same time that, and this is just Rick, this is just my problem. I can't hold it all. My son used an illustration. He says, you know, that only so many penguins will fit on the iceberg. And so if you try to put another penguin on the iceberg, another one's going to fall off. And so, you know, and that's a great description of my brain. I can only fit so much in. And so I have to write it down. You say you want to have a meeting with me? I have to write that down. Otherwise, you're going to show up and I'm not going to remember, because it's just who I am. But I know that. And because I know that, if I make a commitment, I write it down. A lot of times I'll just send myself a text, you know, or an email, depending on what the circumstances are. Do something so that you can be dependable, so that they can depend upon you. Third, be confidential. If a friend tells you something, in confidence, tell no one, not even your wife, ever. Don't share it. Unless that person has given you permission to share it. You know, there are times people say things to me and I'll ask them, is it okay if I share this with Kelly so that we can pray about it? And whatever they tell me, that's what I do. If they say no, okay, it's between me and you. And that's the way it should be. I want people to know, if they tell me something in confidence, no one else is going to hear about it. Well, God's going to hear about it, but then he already knows about it. But I'm going to keep it in confidence. This was just scratching the surface of these things, guys. It's kind of just a quick overview of what integrity is, your whole life. It really will summarize every aspect of your life. Being a man of integrity matters to God. It matters to everyone around you. He made you. He made you male. He made you male on purpose, with a purpose. He calls you to be a man of integrity. And in the end, a life of integrity is going to be one that really matters. One that leaves a legacy for others to look upon and maybe to imitate. We'll close with a Teddy Roosevelt quote. Knowing what's right doesn't mean much unless you do what's right. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come, we thank you, Lord, for this. We know, Lord, your word tells us what's right. And Lord, I come and I lift up these men, and if any have watched online or will watch this later, I pray for them that, Lord God, you would help them to take what is said here today seriously, that they would consider it something that is important and that they should model their lives after the life of Christ, who is the perfect man of integrity, and that to the best of our ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us, based upon the word of God, for the glory of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to be men of integrity. And so I pray, Lord, that you would fill these men with that desire to be men of integrity, and then show them the pathway. If there's things that they need to work on, maybe something that we talked about here this morning, maybe something that they're doing, but maybe not doing to the degree that they should, I pray that you would help them. And I know many of these guys are probably doing most of these things, but if there's something that they can do better, that our desire as men ought to be to influence others, to influence them toward good, toward you, toward Jesus, toward the gospel, toward heaven, that it's our desire to lead them to you. And to do that, we must be men of integrity. And so I pray that you would do a radical work in us, and that you would use us for your glory, for the blessing of others, and the growing of faith. Lord, we love you. This day is yours, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we had to be here this morning, and we lift it all up to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a radical week.
Thank you for joining us as we grow together through the series Shepherd, Reclaiming Man's Role in the World. It's our hope that these messages will help you to grow in your faith. If you have questions or there's anything that we can help you with on that process, please don't hesitate to connect with us. Go to calvaryfv.com/connect to find all of the ways that you can connect with us.
as Christians, we are all connected in Christ. And one of the ways that we stay connected or that we help each other is in prayer. So please let us know how we can be praying for you. Send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com or text the word pray to 951-419-5396. If this teaching has been useful to you, please share it with someone, like it, subscribe, all those things that we do to connect. Also, please pray that God would use these messages to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. You can also partner with us financially by going to calvaryfv.com/give or text the word give to 951-419-5396. Until next time, go be radical with Jesus.